Now, kind of talk a little louder if you can. You know, talk just as loud as you can.
Yeah.
Now, you was born in 1890, wasn't you?
No, 1880.
1880, that's right. 1880. Now, you was about 12 years old when you moved to Spray.
Yeah.
About 12 years old.
Well, 1892.
1892. All right, now, when your daddy had died.
Yeah, he died, about 2 months.
About 2 months.
Before you come down here.
Uh-huh. And your brother Sherman was already living here.
Already, yeah.
Working in the mill.
In
a
grist mill.
In a grist mill.
Built an old big mill that was built right that side of the trestle.
This
right over the top of it.
This old grist mill was built over that trestle there at Spray. Right there at Spray.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, now when y'all moved here, moved to Spray, didn't you tell me that y'all moved in a house that was close to the big Mabin home?
Yeah.
Right close to them. How far from the Mabin?
Well, you know why the cotton mill is now.
Yeah.
And it's not the Spray, but the... what they call it?
The Moorhead?
Moorhead Mill.
Moorhead Mill, and, yeah.
Yeah, that covers about all the ground where we had our garden.
Uh-huh.
Well, it's a slope, you know, the slope that went down, come down to the road.
They had not built
the road to come from Lakeville, you know, to Spray.
They hadn't built that mill there then?
Oh, no. Oh, I see.
Well, now, where was the house located? How far from the old Mabin home was it?
Well, about twice as far from here to the street down there.
In other words, almost in the same yard.
Yeah.
Right beyond their yard.
Yeah, you can see it. You can see the house.
Could see it.
They may have been home, you know.
Uh-huh.
The Moorhead home.
All right. And didn't you tell me that you used to go out and when Ms. Mabin was by herself and you was about a 12 or 14 year old boy, you used to go out there and stay with her till her husband come home?
Ms. Moorhead.
Ms. Moorhead.
Yeah, Mabin had no such a thing as Mabin then.
Oh, I see. That's where the Moorheads live.
Yeah.
They lived in that, in the, what was later, what is it? They lived in...
At Lily, there's only one daughter living there. There's two others was married. They lived in Danville.
And Lily Moorhead
lived. Lily Moore was the only single daughter that was staying at the home, see.
And when they would all be away,
I'd be off on a business trip or something, you know, and she was there by herself.
Uh-huh.
Well, she come out there and asked my mother to let me come out there and stay with her. It's all right.
I see. You.
She was your friend. Stay there by herself.
Stay there by herself.
I was about to, well, I, what, I, maybe I was 14.
14 years,
years old. But then.
Uh-huh. And this Lily Moorhead was a daughter. Who was her father?
James Turner Moorhead.
James Turner.
That man owned all of that cotton mill, owned everything down in Spray.
James.
Owned that mill, the store.
Uh-huh.
From this store.
Uh-huh. All right, and he had a son named James Motley Moorhead. Was that his son?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, James Motley Moorhead was James Turner's son.
James Turner's son.
Okay. All right, now, when you told me that sometimes that you would go in the canal, you and other boys, and go in swimming, is that right?
Oh, yes, really.
You and other boys would go in the little canal that they built there, and go in swimming. Y'all would go in swimming.
Yeah, the canal.
Uh-huh. All right, and you told me about several times while you was in swimming out there that a man would come out of the shop of the mill and walk across up on a little bridge and throw something in the water. And then it would bubble up and he would strike a match and throw it on that bubbling water and it would blaze up. Uh-huh. Is that right now?
Well, something like that went on.
I forgot
the main thing about it.
Yeah. All right, who was that young man that would come out?
Oh, I don't forgot his name. And worked in the boiler room there.
Well, what was he doing?
He worked in the boiler room.
Well, what?
At the boiler.
Well, why would he come out there and throw that in the water? What was that he throwed in the water?
Oh, just for fun, have some fun. Yes, something like that.
Well, I mean, I know that, but what was it he throwed in the water that bubbled?
I don't know what it was. It's something, you know, it hit the water and it blowed it. Some kind of... It was about a bit of powder in it.
Some kind of powder?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. But then he'd strike a match to it and it would blaze up.
Yeah.
And then it'd kind of float on down and go out.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Then he'd go back in the shop.
Yeah.
Well, several years ago, when you would tell me about that, you told me that you believed, as you learned later about that, that man was experimenting with carbide. With carbide.
Uh-huh.
Now what? That he was throwing carbide in the water.
Uh-huh.
And it caused acetylene gas to form.
Yeah.
And he struck a match to it and it blazed up and he was experimenting with
it.
Is that right?
Well, there's a man that invented the carbide. He was the one that founded it.
Who was the man that you're talking about invented the carbide?
I can't think of his name. I forgot all about his name.
Uh-huh. Well,
I know him. I know the face.
Well,
I can remember the way he looked now. But I can't think of the name.
Well, now, let me ask you this. You said that you used to tell me about that John Motley Moorhead. What did he do about the carbide? What part did he play in about the carbide?
Well, he had something, but I don't know just exactly. I was too young to get into that business like that understand it.
The man had come out there on the bridge and throwed the match down there where it was bubbling up. That wasn't John Motley Moorhead.
Oh, no, it wasn't him.
It wasn't him. But it was some young man that come out of the shop there.
Yeah.
That did it. Well, later on when you growed up and you began to work in the mill yourself and in the shops and all of that, do you think that he was experimenting with carbide? Was that what he throwed in there? It caused that to bubble up and then he'd strike a match and throw it on it and it would blaze up? You think that was carbide?
Well, I just can't give you the straight answer about that. That's been too long ago.
I see. Well, what was it?
Mm-hmm. There's a few things I can pick up.
Yeah. What is it that you told me that they began down there to make carbide, didn't they?
Yeah, they made it there. That's why it was invented and made.
Made carbide.
Yeah.
There. Uh-huh. Well, who was the man that was trying was making that carbide? Who was in charge?
I don't know.
You don't know who it was?
Uh-huh.
Well, when John Motley Moorhead got into the picture about that time, what did he do? What was John Motley Moorhead doing?
Oh, I don't know. He done the financial part of it. I don't know what it was.
You don't?
He just run it, looked after, made it work, or something like that, you know.
Well, was he involved in this making carbide? John Motley?
been away he was, but I don't know whether he was a real angel or not. I did too far.
But still, he had a hand in helping make it.
He had something to do with it.
Mm-hmm. And that y'all would see this stuff piled up back there, wouldn't you? You would see it piled up, the stuff they made, the carbide that they made. You would see it piled up in a pile back in behind there, wouldn't you?
Well, I think I did. I can't remember.
Well, did they have a special building that they made this stuff in? Around there close?
I just don't know. Well, they had it there, sent it off. I can't remember.
But
I don't know how it was.
You told me that you believed that young man had come out on that bridge and had throwed that down in the water and it bubbled up and strike a match to it and it blazed up. You told me several years ago that back then when you was more fresher on your mind, that you believed that they was experimenting with carbide.
Well, it might have been. Might have been.
But you saw it blaze up when y'all was swimming in there.
Yeah.
In other words, you boys...
We didn't know what it was, you know. They didn't tell us that.
I see. Uh-huh. Well, later on, John Motley Moorhead, he left Spray, didn't he?
Yeah.
And he went to New York?
I think it is. I think from New York. Right?
What did he go up there for?
I don't know.
You don't know. Well, you do know, of course, recall to mind that he started the Union Carbide Company.
Yeah.
And you remember he died not a few years ago, and he was way up in age, and he had started this carbide company up there called Union Carbide. And it probably was an outgrowth of what he saw and to what he took part in down there at Spray, and he went on up to New York and started this company called Union Carbide, and was the president of it for many, many years, and it became one of the greatest companies in the United States, you know, Union Carbide, because it has a lot of other companies under it, a lot of other. It makes Eveready batteries, and makes carbide now to make acetylene gas out of.
Right.
In the big acetylene plants, they still manufacture that, and they make oxygen. They have oxygen and acetylene subsidiaries. Mm-hmm. The Linde Gas Corporation is under them, and they make torches and things like that in the welding industry. Electric welding and gas welding too. All of this is under the Union Carbide, which was started by John Motley Moorhead, who got his information about carbide right down here at Spray. And no doubt you boys, what you saw there was somebody was experimenting with it, throw it into the water. You know, when you
we didn't know what it's doing.
Yeah, when you
tickle us,
when you put carbide in water, it forms gas, forms acetylene gas, and it'll burn. You know, it'll burn. It'll set down and burn, and so forth. So,
well, there's no telling what that carbide money was. Come from it.
Well, I believe now that, do you recall anything about this? That it might have been in those days that they were learning to use carbide to make acetylene to make lights, you know.
Oh, yes.
You remember that?
No telling that. Uh-huh. A whole lot of things come from it.
Yeah, the old lights on the Model T Fords. You remember that. They have the old lights on each side of the cars.
You know, back in them days, that gas business was running an automobile, a thing like that. Well, no such thing as that went on. wasn't no automobiles back in them days at all. Never thought of it, see.
Yeah. But they still knew how to make acetylene gas before they made automobiles, evidently.
Oh, yeah. Well, that helped out, you know, after that.
Yeah. That's right. After they made the cars, they put the headlights and on them came from acetylene gas.
Yeah.
And the miners, when they went down in the mine, they used acetylene to make lights that they put up on their forehead, you know, on their helmets. Well, apparently then, since the history books tells us that carbide, this had its beginning right here in Spray to a certain extent. Yeah. And that since Mr. Moorhead was the beginning of this great company, then it's what you saw there, you and them boys swimming in the canal, could have been experiments.
Oh, sure it was.
Was going on in the at that time. Now that would have been, you was around 14 years old, and you came to Spray in 1892.
Might have been, I don't know what time of year it was.
I know. Well, you was born in 1880. And you was 12 years old when they moved here, so that would be 1892. All right, if you was a 14-year-old boy, then that would have been in 1904. that you saw this.
Uh-huh.
But you might not have been 14 at that time.
Well,
you might not have been, but
no,
by...
No, I can't get all that together. You
no,
know.
Well, now we know you married in 1906.
Yeah.
Is that right? In 1906.
I come out of the army in 1904. I went in 1901.
How old was you?
I was 21 years old.
You was 21?
When I went in, I was 21 years old.
Uh-huh. Well, that would make this, what you saw while you were swimming around in the canal there, you might not have been but about 12 years old when that was going on.
I might have been older.
Somewhere around about 1900.
Yeah.
1900 or 1898, 1896, somewhere along then. But we do know that the history tells us that carbide was developed here in Spray. We know that. The history books tells us that. And we know that this much, that you saw some kind of experiment going on. About this blazing.
Very beginning of it. That was the very beginning.
Right. And we know that John Motley Moorhead left and went up to New York and started this company. Now, he never did follow the textile business, did he?
No, he never did the business.
Like the others. Well, I wanted to get that down on the tape here, so that I wanted us to tape it. So that we would be able to have a record of it. And I appreciate you telling me about it.
Well, I sure glad I can help.
Well, you've helped as much as you possibly could, and after all, a 96-year-old man, it ain't easy to recall every little detail. But you do, there's a picture.
Well, see, I found out that the older you get, you easier you are to forget things.
That's right. Oh, yeah.
You just can't remember things.
Can't remember at all.
Right close here at home, I can't remember things.
Well, the best thing about it all is that the Lord loves us.
You see, talking things over, you know, getting the beginning of it, it looks like it sort of comes to you, see.
Yeah, as you think about it. Yeah. Well, I don't know who that boy was that come out on the bridge and throwed this, whatever he throwed in the water. Did you tell me one time it kind of looked like a lump of coal?
That what?
Looked like a lump of coal.
Well, it's something other than what it was in his hand, but
you saw
something,
him.
Something black.
Yeah.
There was something black.
And you saw him kneel down on the little bridge and drop it in the water.
Yeah.
Well, didn't he drop it up above the bridge a little bit? And then when it floated down, kind of a little bit, he throwed the match to it, and it would blaze up.
Well, I don't know if that's exactly remember why it was standing there.
Well,
where that goes, I know.
But it
I
would.
I know he threw it in there.
And you saw it blaze up. And then you said when it went out or floated on down and quit burning or went on down, he'd turn around and go back in the shop.
Yeah.
Well, did you see him do that several times?
No, I don't remember. I don't remember.
How you don't, many times you don't remember? How, do you believe it could have been more than one time when y'all would swim in the canal?
Well, I don't exactly remember, but it seemed like it probably we was, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
It would take more. He was working on more experience.
Uh-huh. Well, that's a great historical thing. That's history.
Yeah, sure it is.
Because the carbide and the welding within itself is one of the great factors in the growth of industry in this country. And without it, we wouldn't have been able to make it without it. And I guess acetylene welding came along before electric welding. Mm-hmm. Electric welding. You remember the old torches and things y'all used to weld with in the mill? Wasn't you a mechanic in the mill?
I know one thing back in them days, as far as the gas is concerned, there wasn't no such a thing.
No, you're talking about gasoline to drive a car.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this. When you got back from the army and married and went into the mill, you did mechanical work, didn't you? Didn't you start out?
I went back on the same job.
What was that?
I left the old leaf roller mill, and I went to the Marshall Field. They come here and bought that roller mill back in spray from Moorhead.
Yeah, okay, now.
From Mabin, well, I mean, not anymore, but Mabin.
Uh-huh. Well, didn't you go in and work in the shop and work on the machinery?
Oh, no, I never did. I was made assistant foreman.
You were?
In the mule spinning.
Wasn't you a fixer at one time?
I done the fixing, too.
You did it?
Yeah,
well, don't you remember you told me that there was a something that was called a prestolite torch? Prestolite? You remember the word prestolite?
I don't believe I do.
Well, I remember you telling me about the word prestolite, which would have been a little cylinder of acetylene that you use with oxygen to braze and weld with. And you would braze and weld.
Well,
or some of
them. We had that, all I had to do, you know, we always sent it to the shop.
Well, okay, but does the word prestolite, you remember the word prestolite?
No, I don't believe I do.
You don't remember, but it seems like you told me about that several years ago when I first started and they got into the welding. Industry myself, you remembered the word prestolite. They call it prestolite, and of course prestolite is one of the Union Carbide companies. They are that's under them too. I think it still is.
Well, what does that prestolite mean?
Well, prestolite was the name of the cylinders that we see it on now was the old Lindy, which was under the Union Carbide. It was on their cylinders, their acetylene cylinders. And then there were torches that were called Prestolite. Uh-huh. It means, presto means quick.
Yeah.
Quick,
yeah.
Fast light.
Yeah.
That's what Prestolite means. I think that's what they must have meant by the word presto. Prestolite. Quick, fast, burns quick. So and that was one of their early trade names, trademark, you might say, of some of their equipment. Well, Daddy, I know you're tired, and I'm going to shut it off, and I just like to say on this recorded that I'm Smith Haley, and I'm the son of P.T. Haley, the man that I'm talking to. He's my father here in Eden, North Carolina, which was used to be Leakesville Spray and Draper. And they renamed it several years ago Eden. And my daddy, as you heard, he's lived here since he was 12 years old, and he's now 96 years old, and worked in here with in the mills, and especially in the woolen mill department of the Marshall Field and Company and Field Press.
I worked for the Marshall Field Company 24 years and 2 months.
Yeah, but you originally worked with the old Moorhead.
I was assistant foreman.
Yeah, did.
Probably most all of that time.
Yeah, and this is June, the latter part of June in 1976. I'm talking to him on a visit to his home here in Eden, North Carolina, and we're discussing this to try to get it on tape. Well, I thank you a lot, Daddy.
Yes, sir. You're great. You're welcome.
Now, this is Smith Haley again. It is now 1989 that I'm speaking to you at this time. I'm replaying this tape my father and I made, as you have seen. I need to make a correction here as I listen to this again. And back, you will notice that I mentioned the date of 1904. I meant it really 1894 at that time. That is a correction should be made in that. John Motley Moorhead later on came back home, and if you'll trace the history of this great man's work, he was a great philanthropist and contributed much to science and scientific research there in North Carolina. I think he had a hand in some of the research in the university system. So today I have written to the Union Carbide Company and have asked them that if this tape might be of a value to them. And I don't know just what they will say, but we will wait and see what they have to say about it. You mentioned there about the Prestolite. It is true that when I went to work with the Welding Supply and Service Company in Macon in 1957, as I would go home and become acquainted myself with the various welding products. I was a repairman on torches and regulators, among other things I did with the company, became familiar with this equipment. And that was, as we talked about it soon after I went to work, probably in the early 60s. His mind was fresh at that time, and he definitely told me that he did remember the word Prestolite that they used in that torch. It's just what type of welding and cutting equipment that they had in those early times, I don't really know. But it is of interest. If anything else comes, I will be adding it to it. Out.